This is The Metal Set.
Hi, this is Dawn, an ultra cyclist and sports PR specialist.
And I'm Afshan, an endurance athlete and journalist.
And we're on a quest to bring you stories of tenacity, courage, and metal.
From athletes in the Middle East and beyond.
Hello, Afshan.
Hi.
That's an enthusiastic hello.
Yeah. I mean, we're entering into summer, and I think we have to be enthusiastic about summer.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard when it feels like it's an oven here.
That's
I don't
true.
Know what the temperature is today, but as I mentioned to you earlier, I've just had no motivation to be riding outside unless it's in Mushrif Park, which is a mountain bike park here in Dubai.
But that also means that we get to travel and kind of escape the heat throughout the summer and do some fun things in our sport.
Yes. So for those listening who don't live in the Middle East, as you can imagine, it gets quite hot here. And I think yesterday I was looking at in the afternoon, I think it was 43 degrees. So outdoors activities are really limited to mornings and evenings. And so.
And even then you have to brace the humidity. So
That's true. So we're checking in. For everybody listening, thank you so much for joining us. We're checking in. It's mid-year. A lot has happened, I think, in the first half of the year. Some of it we've documented. We wanted to do a mid-year check-in to say, you know, what's been happening with us recently, what the summer and also beyond holds for us, what's planned for our summer series, because we have some exciting new episodes in the works. And we also want to thank everybody for listening to us. Right now, you know, we were fortunate enough to get some media coverage recently because we have listeners in 93 countries. We've reached
I'm counting.
We've reached number one in 14 countries, and I think we're in the top 0.3% of all podcasts globally. And that's, you know, largely down to the people who listen to us. So thank you very much.
And follow us on social media. So thank you. Thank you again.
Yes. And if you are listening to us and you like our content, please, please, please rate us. 5 stars only.
And
keep your 1 and 2 stars to yourselves. But
And drop us a review as well.
Yes, drop us a review. It doesn't need to be long, but just a couple of words about what you like, about the podcast, any episodes that were particularly interesting to you. That would be greatly appreciated. And it really helps us reach new audiences. So without further ado, Afshan, I'm going to ask you some things that have been happening because you did recently. We talked about this on another podcast, which is going to go live soon. You recently did something called the 50-50-50. Do you want to tell our listeners about what that is?
Yeah, absolutely. 50-50-50, or as it's called, Into the Darkness, is an endurance event that my endurance club holds every year. I think they've been doing it for the last 4 or 5 years now. And last year I did part of this race. I'm not going to call it a race because it's a challenge. It's not a race. And this year I did the full. So what it is basically through the night from dusk to dawn, you have to ride 50 kilometers. Straight after that, you have to run 50 kilometers. And then straight after that, you have to ride another 50 kilometers. And the challenge is basically you try to do it in the dark. So before the sun comes up, ideally, you finish the race. Now, I did not finish before the sun came up. I did finish, though. And I am tremendously proud at doing that. So I don't really, you know, care whether I did finish on time or not. So that was basically the race or the challenge, so to speak. And I mean, I think it just completely extended my mental boundaries. Physical, I feel like I was there because my training served me really well. Mm-hmm. I went into it fully prepared physically, so I knew that that wouldn't be a problem. But mentally, I think this becomes a mental game if you are, you know, kind of doing an endurance event for over 10 plus hours. You know, you have to rely on your mental strength really to get you through and to the finish line.
100%. And how long did it take? Out of curiosity, I mean, finishing number one, I'm like, I wouldn't care if I finished ahead of like time limits, whatever, finishing that is insane. So yeah. How long did it take ultimately? Like how long were you suffering there?
You know, it's funny you call it suffering because there were points where I really enjoyed this race and there were points that I wasn't really suffering, but it definitely was something that I had to kind of push through. I wouldn't really pin it to suffering, but it was something else. I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
But I think it took me a little over 11 hours.
11 hours. Wow. Yeah. Wow. I don't know. The running for me, like cycling, fine. I think 11 hours on a bike, sweet. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. Running 100 kilometers. No, no, thank you.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't done 100 kilometers. 50. Yeah. I mean, look, I did a marathon last year that was 42 kilometers. This was another 8 on top of that. But if you tell someone who hasn't run before, it's like for them, it's just another 8. But 8 is after you've done 42 kilometers, 8 can be a good one extra hour into your run. So that obviously plays on your mind quite a bit. And any run, I think any runner will tell you there is a breaking point. And you know, that comes at around 25 or 30 when your body starts aching and then, you know, your mental capability just has to kick in for you to do whatever you can to kind of make it through and keep going.
Yeah. Well done on that.
And
I mean, yeah, I think there's more to come for you. Like you said, this is kind of push your limits and we're going to get into that in a minute.
Yeah.
But also you've had some news recently, right? Do you want to tell everybody what's happened?
Yeah. So right off the bat after this event, which, you know, in all fairness, I was physically fit and I didn't have any issues during the race whatsoever. But a week later, I did find out that I have a bulge in my disc, which is called a herniated disc. It is extreme pain in your lower back. And that tends to happen. There can be various reasons that can happen. In my case, it's probably just a lot of the sport that I'm doing may have caused an inflammation in my disc. Mm-hmm. Now, what I do want to say as well is that when you do see a doctor, I think as an athlete, it's best that you see a sports doctor, someone who knows sports and exercise medicine, mm-hmm. only because right from the start, they know how an athlete works and how their body works and what an athlete's body needs to recover. Mm-hmm. Because I want to be very honest, the first doctor that I went to immediately said that I would need some sort of surgery to alleviate my pain. Mm-hmm. And obviously this did not sit with me too well because while I was in extreme pain and excruciating pain, I still didn't think it warranted a surgery. So I did then go and consult a sports orthopedic and a sports specialist who then obviously said that, no, I think all this requires is a fair bit of physio and, you know, kind of stretching and things like that and just mm-hmm. giving your body a break for a few weeks. That doesn't mean eliminating sport. That doesn't mean eliminating exercise. It just means slowing down a bit and mm-hmm. allowing the inflammation to like subside and then going back to all the sport that you love.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, we chatted earlier and you were in a lot of pain like earlier this week. So wishing you a very speedy recovery.
Thank you.
And seeing you today was good because you're in better spirits.
I know. I definitely am in better spirits.
Yeah. It's so hard when you get like an injury or something.
Yeah,
and
because I think healing from an injury requires both the body and mind, right? Like if your body's injured, your mind definitely takes a beating as well. And especially for athletes who then can't train for a while. Mm. And this is like documented that as soon as, especially elite athletes, like once they get injured and if it's a serious injury, which keeps them on the bench for several weeks on end, they can suffer from a lot of psychological issues like depression. A lot of them suffer from eating disorders and things like that. So, you know, it can complicate and it can actually restrict you from recovering as well. So I think, you know, I've tried to be quite positive through this and I'm trying to be very positive. I've not stopped activity. So, you know, I've resorted to walking, which I know, Dawn, you absolutely advocate for.
Big fan of walking.
So I'm absolutely loving them. It allows me to listen to my favorite podcasts. Mm. It allows me to kind of reflect on things, you know, kind of be more mindful. So I'm really, really enjoying that at the moment.
Yeah, no, I love walking. And I think sometimes, you know, I think you and I, we push ourselves a lot and we need to recognize that sometimes it's okay to rest for a little bit. You know, it's okay to, and it's not resting. We're never resting, but to dial it down a notch.
Or your body makes that decision for you.
Or your body makes that decision for you. Yeah, absolutely. But I totally get it about, you know, the mindset. When I've had instances, you know, where I was sick a couple of years ago, it's physically, yes, you do recover, but it's hard to mentally deal with that sometimes. Not feeling, you know, 100% strength or losing mobility and stuff is it's hard. So,
because you feel like you've gone back to square one, right? Mm. Especially if you're like training and you're training really hard, you've achieved a certain level of fitness, and then it feels like you've gone back to like square one and you have to start from scratch.
It's never square one, though.
It's never square, but it feels that way. So I think it's just putting things into perspective and, you know, seeing that even like athletes who've been injured with like massive injuries have bounced back and gone on to achieve great, great things. So and in the larger scheme of things, it's never that bad.
And often get stronger as well, you know, from these setbacks.
Yes.
So Summer, tell us what is happening with you over the summer.
Great. So over the summer, so I'm on my way. I'm heading out to Germany in a few days. There's one of the biggest triathlon races that happens every year in Germany called Challenge Roth. Mm-hmm. It's a long distance triathlon, very similar to the Ironman brand, but it is organized by another brand. And it's basically, when I say long distance, it's 3.8 kilometers swim, 180 kilometers bike ride, and then you do a full marathon at the end of the bike ride.
And we've had Melina on to, you know, and we'll put that in the show notes, but Melina, one of our guests, I think it was her first triathlon or something crazy like that, if memory serves right.
Exactly. And she spoke about the vibe of this triathlon and the energy of this triathlon, which makes it one of the most coveted and the most sought after triathlon amongst triathletes. And so it's on the bucket list of most triathletes out there, and everyone wants to do this challenge. Mm-hmm. So I'm heading out because a lot of our friends from Dubai are actually challengers in this try this year, and we're going to be on ground cheering them on.
It's your support crew.
I am.
You're part of the vibe this year.
I am part of the vibe. I think like around 250 or 60,000 spectators turn up for this event, and so I'm going to be a speck in that crowd this year. And just, you know, like on that, we have one of the community athletes on our podcast in you know, very soon as well, or I think by the time this goes
just
up.
Just before this, yeah.
Actually, yeah, just before this, we will have one of our community athletes from Dubai who speaks to us about the race and speaks to us about an athlete's mindset, a non-professional athlete's mindset going into such races, and a balance that you need between life and kind of doing such races. So, yeah.
Exciting. And you're going to be trying to get some content on the ground there, which is super exciting.
Absolutely.
To
I'm going to try and capture the sights and scenes from Challenge Roth.
Yeah. Well, I think this is going to go live right before, as you're in Germany.
Exactly.
So yeah, we'll look forward to more updates on that. So tell us also, you've got some new goals for later in the year, all provided, you know, training goes fine and injuries kept at bay and stuff like that. Tell us about what's on the cards for you.
Yeah. So earlier this year, I signed up for a unique marathon. It's called the Ladakh Marathon. It's one of the world marathons, world marathon recognized marathons out there. And what's unique about it is that it's high altitude marathon, and it is actually one of the highest, if not the highest, marathons in the world. It starts at 3,000 meters. Wow. And it can go up to 5,000 meters.
Oh, God.
So I've never done anything of this sort. I've never done any high altitude running, training in my life. And, you know, if I recover on time, I've already signed up for the race. So there's full intention and determination to go into it and ace the race. But it definitely depends on my back recovery. But just a little bit about the marathon itself. And I'm pretty sure as we close into the marathon, we'll probably do a couple of episodes on it as well. Ladakh is in India.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the union territories of India, and it forms a portion of Kashmir.
Mm-hmm.
It's an ancient Buddhist kingdom. So we will be running through an ancient Buddhist kingdom, and I'm told that the vistas are amazing and the landscape is beautiful. Now I'm hoping to appreciate the landscape while I run, but I also have to go a week before the race
mm-hmm.
so that I can acclimatize. So I'll have more time to actually appreciate the beauty of the scene.
Yeah, I mean, here, like they say, you know, the heat here as well as replicates elevation training, right?
Absolutely. And so, when I was speaking to my coach about training in the UAE, because we don't have such high mountains in the UAE, basically he was like, if you train through summer, it's, you know, heat and humidity are a poor man's elevation. And altitude. So it just helps with your lung capacity and just, you know, the way you take in oxygen and how you kind of work in the heat, which is quite similar to when you have, when you're running through thin air and there's very little oxygen up there. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited to follow you in this journey with that marathon. I'm still not going to be a runner. Even though there's so much runner, every now and again, I had a moment or 2019, I was like, maybe I want to do ultra running. And then I'm like, no, I like life on two wheels. But I can't wait to follow you and see. I just would love...
The thing is, those were my famous last words a while back, right? Like when I met my coach first, that was the first thing I told him. I don't think I'm ever going to run. I don't like it. You and I used to be in CrossFit classes. Mm-hmm. Running was the worst thing ever in those classes. When there was a warm up,
I liked it.
I would avoid them at all costs, right? Like I would stay back and do a warm up on the rowing machine or something of that sort, but I would not go out and run. And life's done a 180 on me, so.
Yeah, who knows? Never say never, I guess. Yeah, but exactly. I'm excited to see the photos and, yeah, just hear your experience in that. Because it does look like an amazingly beautiful part of the world.
Yeah.
That I don't think a lot of people think about, you know.
Exactly.
So, yeah. And then.
To you. You've got a lot happening as well. You're traveling too.
Yeah, I am. I guess first things first, we probably want to give an update on Dead Ends and Cake.
Mm, yeah.
Because I had interviewed Dominic and that episode went live. And so for those listening who are unaware, I did Race Around Rwanda earlier this year. I did not finish it and kind of had a bit of a moment during that race and after to reflect upon ultra cycling. And I think for the time being... I'm going to put a pause on ultras.
And that's fair. You've actually done what, four?
Yeah, I've done four. Participated in four. Two have been successful. Mm-hmm. Two have been learning experiences.
Yeah.
And
it's time for a new goal.
Exactly. I think one of the things in the last race was, you know, beyond feeling like I could possibly be in danger and given the circumstances in that particular race at that moment, I just thought, you know, I don't know, maybe I'm getting a bit deep here, but like ultra cycling can be a lonely endeavor. And I just thought, you know, coming back and going right into training for another race, I was just spending a lot of time alone. And I was just, it wasn't aligned with where I wanted my life to be mm-hmm. at the moment. And my heart wasn't in it. And after a discussion with my coach, you know, you and I are building this platform as well. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
And he made the comment like, I'd love to see what you could do if you could really focus. And I was like, yeah, me too. But I can't, circumstances and my feelings were not allowing me to focus on this particular race. And I thought, I don't want to do this just because I said I'm going to do it and not enjoy it or feel like it's an obligation. So I made the hard decision to not go forward with that race. I think it's an amazing race and an amazing format. And, you know,
and just the feedback we received on that episode was phenomenal. Yeah, on the episode,
everyone loves, you know, everyone loves this race. So if I'm going to do another ultra, I think I definitely want to do Dead Ends and Cake. And when this episode goes live, everyone will be arriving in St. Gallen and in Switzerland to do the race. But
and it's,
you know,
one of the more inclusive ultras, isn't it?
It absolutely is. There's 50%
with a lot of cake.
Yeah, a lot of cake, obviously, which is a big draw. But 50%, you know, split between men and women.
Men and women.
On the start line, which is amazing. And it's also 500 kilometers. It happens over a weekend, 9,000 meters of elevation. So it's not easy by any stretch, but it is one of the more accessible races in the ultra on the ultra calendar. So yeah, I wish them all the best for this race. I guess the past couple of months have been really interesting for me on a personal side of things. And, you know, I'm a firm believer, like, when kind of opportunities come up, take them. And I had the opportunity, one of our friends was selling a mountain bike and I bought the mountain bike. I was like, oh, I don't know if this makes sense financially right now.
So that's what, 10 bikes now, Dawn?
No, there's three bicycles and one dirt bike here.
Okay.
And that, it's a four bike household now, which the start of the year was two bikes and now it's all of a sudden four with a new titanium bike as well. So yeah, I bought the mountain bike. I've now been spending most of my time or most of my weekends on the mountain bike. The gravel bike is generally for the week.
Yeah.
The road bike needs a little love at some stage, but I've been spending a lot of time on the mountain bike and I absolutely love it. I love it. And, you know, I have a lot of friends who have mountain bikes and I just was like, I want to do something with mountain bikes. And I saw this race that a few people I know have done here called the Sani to Sea.
A friend of mine has actually done it this year, which is, and it was phenomenal according to him. So,
Yeah, it's a 3-day, 265 kilometer mountain bike stage race. Takes place in, I'm going to pronounce this province right, South Africa in KwaZulu-Natal, South Africa.
Got it right.
A southeastern province. And it just looks magical. The whole vibe, the whole landscape. It is, you know, you're going through like farmer's land, like kind of, it just looks phenomenal. It looks so beautiful. It looks like an adventure. It looks physically challenging. It's a new challenge for me because you know, I'm not a mountain biker. I feel like I have done stuff, you know, that kind of helps me in that, but I want to learn more bike handling skills and become like a proper mountain biker. And yeah, I'm just super excited. That takes place. So entries open July 3rd for that race. And that race takes place in April. April next year. Yeah. So I have time to train for it. And
without the pressure of, like, you know, other stuff, because obviously, like you said, we're building the medal set.
Yeah.
We have other things on our, you know, plates, just life and things like that. So it just does give you a fair bit of time to get ready.
It gives me a fair bit of time. And I just think it's going to be so much fun, like learning all these bike handling skills. So I'm lining up training for that. And, you know, because the physical, getting fit enough is not the issue. Yeah. It's like, for me, it'd be like bike handling.
Yeah. And you go out to Mushrif to do this, right?
Yeah. So I go to Mushrif here. Like, I mean, it's too hot now to go to Hatta, but, you know, when it cools down a bit, I want to go out to Hatta. And also Oman. You know, there's lots of mountain bike trails there, which is, you know, it's different from Europe. For people who are used to that, but I think, you know, it's great and wonderful and beautiful. So yeah, Mushrif here is a mountain bike park in Dubai, which we're so lucky to have, you know, in a big city like this. And I've been going there every weekend, first on the gravel bike and now on the red trails, on the mountain bike. So yeah, just going to keep focusing on that. But the summer, so originally was going to go to France as I normally do. And plans fell through with that. And, you know, when I was going to France, it was going to be downhill mountain biking, which I was excited about.
Right.
But now that those plans aren't happening, I think there's a better plan, a more exciting
plan. There's always
for
a better
me.
Plan.
Yeah, which kind of just happened organically.
Yeah.
That I'm going to Korea and I'm going to cycle across the country.
Tell us more.
Yeah. So it kind of came about in a funny way. One of my good friends who I had met first when I lived in Abu Dhabi, like 11 years ago, she lives in Seoul with her husband and daughter. And she was always like, come visit, but they're actually moving. And I was like, oh, it's such a shame we didn't get to see one another. Plans fell through with France. And I was like, where do I want to go? I want to go, like, do I want to go back to France? Probably not. I love France. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, maybe it's time for somewhere new. And I was like, where's new? Where's not crazy expensive either, like booking, you know, in a short time frame. And I was just at the gym and one of the trainers and I were talking, coaches, and he was saying, what about Asia? What about Korea? And I went, yeah, what about Korea? And then I was like, because I'd known about this cycle path that literally crosses the country. It's 630 kilometers.
Right.
It's on a dedicated bike path. So
That's
you're not
amazing.
Worried about cars. Yeah. Which is phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm doing research and it appears that this bike path is only over 630 kilometers, only 500 meters of climbing.
Oh, wow. Good joyride.
It's flatter than flat in my mind, you know, like I think, yeah, it's so flat. Like,
but what a way to see a country.
Exactly, by bike. And it's just going to be enjoyable. So a friend of mine is likely going to join me. I hope she's going to join me from here. But I'm going to go see my friend before she moves and then cycle across the country, enjoy the sights, sounds, food of Korea by bike.
Yeah.
And then come back. Yeah. I think
it'll just re-energize you, Dawn.
Yeah. I'm just super excited to have a really chilled, nice time on the bike, hopefully with a friend. And yeah, I'm going to document it all for the metal set, for the podcast, for social media, maybe do some video. So yeah, super excited about that.
No, so, I'm excited to see all the documentation. And then obviously, once we have all of that, maybe my next trip will be to Korea to do this flatter than flat route.
Well, just the whole dedicated bike path too, like, because as I get older, I'm a little more aware of my own mortality and cars do make me uncomfortable riding on the road.
Which is fair because, you know, we have seen a lot of unfortunate incidences with riders riding on the roads and being fatal. So yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Safety first.
Absolutely. So yeah, super excited about that. And also like the infrastructure that they have set up, if you do this, I love this. If you do this, you know, ride from Seoul to Busan, 630 kilometers. They've got a little passport you can take with you and you get stamps at like certain areas, certain junctures on this route. And then you get a certificate.
That is really nice.
It is. It's so nice.
It's a good way to get people on their bike. You know, it's not a race, it's not a challenge, but it's a sense of achievement that you want at the end of the day. So
So super excited about that. But also, like, I think, you know, thinking about new types of events and new challenges and stuff. So I'm moving into mountain biking. You're doing this marathon at this crazy high elevation. We do have a summer series coming up.
Yes, we do.
Which is super exciting. And it's all dedicated to the beginner's mindset, which
is
super fun. So, I mean, I look at my first race,
which is very well documented on this podcast.
Yeah, which is very well documented, episode one. But just there's something magical about entering into something and having a completely open mind about it and your own capabilities and, you know, just doing it, just doing the thing. You know, I was like, we need to hear about other people's first races, you know, the first time that they've done an ultra run or an ultra bike race, ultra cycling race.
Conquering their, first mountain. Anything, any challenge.
Yeah, first
matter.
Triathlon.
Yeah.
And I was just like Googling, like, so I can maybe encapsulate it a lot better than I can,
Yeah.
I was like, what is a beginner's mindset? And according to Forbes, a beginner's mindset entails approaching a situation as though you are a beginner, regardless of your experience. By being open-minded and listening to others without prejudgment, you can obtain knowledge and creative innovative solutions from those who have great insights and wisdom that you might find valuable. So with that in mind, we're going to be talking to and getting the stories of a number of different people who have done, on their first triathlon, their first mountain they've climbed, mm-hmm. first ultra run and first ultra cycling race, and sharing those over a series of episodes. I'm not sure if we'll have an episode every single week over the summer because we need a little downtime ourselves.
We need a little downtime and we need to kind of start building on some of the content that we've promised you. So
Exactly. So there's lots happening, but if you are listening, like, stay tuned and please
feel write free to us as well.
Yeah, write to us, hello@themetalset.com. We'd love to hear, about what you're up to.
We'd love to hear about your mindset and your first race and, what it was and how it went.
Yeah, and we're really super excited to put those episodes together. We've already touched base with some really amazing athletes across all of those disciplines. Yeah, and be sharing that. So I think that's about it. Is there anything else we want to chat about?
I think we've got a lot going on. And for the second half of, the year with the Metal Set podcast, there's so much more to come that I'm absolutely excited to build this.
Yeah. There's tons coming up. There's so many opportunities, which is wonderful.
So many, yeah. Just the region provides all those opportunities and as it's growing its sporting ecosystem. So we just know that there are so many untapped stories and
100%.
We are looking forward to bringing them to the foreground.
Yes. Yeah, bringing them to everyone listening. So again, thank you very much for listening to us, for supporting us, for being our friends, for being, a wonderful community of people who are, on their own journeys, on your own journeys.
And hope you have a lovely summer.
Yes, we hope you have
full
an amazing
of adventure.
Summer. Yeah. All right. Thanks so much, everyone, for listening.
Thanks.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening today.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, we ask that you please share it with family, teammates, friends,
and even frenemies, or share via social media. Please also leave us a review wherever you're listening to this podcast. 5 stars only.
And visit us on themetalset.com for more stories and resources.
Thanks again for listening.
Your support means the world to us.
This is The Metal Set.